I can't do anything. What do you want? The situation comes, and it just overwhelms me, and I can't control myself. The Alter Rebbe is saying that's an illusion. Try out the ingredients articulated here and see if you can control yourself, but try it out. Same as Chua Seitei. This I can do. This doesn't work for me. No. Surbe Dana Seitei is applicable to everyone, yeah?
And then do you still, let's say, if it's not be, Talmud Torah Kinegi Kula.
Even Talmud Torah. Even the mitzvah of Talmud Torah.
He can control himself. Or the person, whether he's, the polarities are too vast for him.
No.
So bring it into the, this is the Kli Zion.
Okay, yeah, no? It says, Baras Yitzhar, Baras Leter Tavlin, yeah. Abaynani would say it. Abaynani would say it. The tzaddik wouldn't. He would do it anyway. You mean think it. Abaynani is an ordinary man. Everything I experience, everything you experience, Abaynani also experiences. That's the whole point. Experience is atzlus. But he knows where it stems from. For when we're lazy, what we do is, yeah, we allow the laziness to conquer us. We take the laziness and we extend it over our life like a blanket. It totally overwhelms us. And I said, I'm lazy now. Finished. I can't do anything. I'm sorry. I'm lazy. The Bainani doesn't fall prey to that. You often see that if you have to do something, okay, and it's something you're not just forced to do it. It's something essentially which is good. But you're lazy to do it. You're very lazy. So, you don't do it. And then the time comes and you don't have it prepared and you feel bad. I should have done it anyway. What would have happened? What about the other extreme? If you were very lazy and nevertheless, you disregard your laziness and you go ahead and you do it. And you finish it. And then the time comes and you have your prepared product. You're feeling good. You feel happy about it. Why do you feel happy? Huh? Why should you feel happy? The other way you should feel happy. The other way, you did what you wanted. You were lazy, so you didn't do it. Now you didn't do what you wanted. So you shouldn't feel happy. Atzlus comes from the Nefesh HaBahamas, from the earth element of the Nefesh HaBahamas. It's like a blank. You have to pierce it through. It's a veneer. You have to drill it. Yeah, that's the next issue. So the question is, why do you administer an oath to Hi Tzaddik? Say, Al Tihi Rasha. Don't be a Rasha. Since a Tzaddik doesn't relate to every human being, the true definition of a Tzaddik, Mashbina, say, Al Tihi Rasha. So this is what Alter Rebbe is going to explain. And the point being is as follows. Even the first half of the Shavuah also relates to every human being. The first half of the Shavuah is Mashbina, say, Tihi Tzaddik. An oath is administered to every Jew. Try to be a Tzaddik. The second part of the oath is, but don't be a Rasha. In other words, the first part of the oath is the demand and the energy given to every human being to try to attempt to become a tzaddik. But nevertheless, it does not mean that he has to be a tzaddik, because not necessarily he can. The second half of the Shavuot, even if you will not be able to achieve this, even if you tried, you can't achieve the state of a tzaddik. You simply cannot. It's not part of who you are. It's not part of the chemistry of your spiritual self. Nevertheless, at least Al Tihi Rasha, in your actual life, you should not be a Rasha. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't say Tiyah Beinani. Because the first half of the Shavuah is Tihi Tzaddik. You should actually try to be a Tzaddik. Yeah, even higher than a Beinani. But even if you cannot achieve that, it's Al Tihi Rasha. And this is what Alter Rebbe is now going to explain. Achafo pikein. Nevertheless, though it has been said that not every person can loathe evil and attain the love of delights characteristic to a tzaddik, tzarich likvaya le'itim gamkein. One must also set aside specific periods. Has to set aside specific periods. Lashis etzis benafshe. To seek for himself means liyis mu'as dira. Lias Mayes Bira. to seek for himself means of abhorring evil, of loathing things that are negative and intrinsically evil, that are negative and evil. Ra. Kigoy, in other words, even a person who's not a tzaddik, even a person who doesn't only have a nefesh elikus, who is in the state of a beinoni or potential beinoni, let's say, not potential tzaddik, has to set aside specific times in his life where he should try to experience something of what the tzaddik experiences. First and foremost, the experience of mayis berav, abhorring evil. Kigoyin, for example, ba'atzas chachameinu zal, following the advice of our sages on overcoming an uncontained, uninhibited lust for women. So the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kufnun Beis Amud Aleph, Isha chamas malei etzayo kai gavna. A woman is a vessel full of waste and the like, similar pieces of advice. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos on the Pasuk Yehu Amar Vayehi, Hashem said, and this is how it is, Zu Isha. This is the lust for an Isha, for a woman. Hutziva vayamid zu banim. And then afterwards the Gemara says that Isha chamas malei etzayo. A woman is a vessel full of waste, a pia maledam, her mouth is full of blood, but nevertheless, everyone runs after it. And the point of the Gemara is as follows. When a person goes crazy merely as a result of the physicality of a specific body, not resulting from a deeper spiritual bond, when the relationship is devoid of a deeper psychological love and union, the sole attraction to the man is the physical dynamic, the Gemara is saying this is actually devoid of any significance. Its whole power is nothing but a moment's experience, a moment's gratification. It lacks any deep and true endurance and satisfaction. So this is what the Gemara is saying, that gravitating and being overtaken by the mere physical phenomenon, so the physical union is then devoid of a spiritual, emotional, psychological bond, this the Gemara is saying is senseless. There is nothing to it. If that's the only reason which is creating the desire, the Gemara says it's rubbish. A body itself is chamas malitzaya. A body itself, devoid of anything else, is a vessel which is filled with waste. Look what's happening inside your body. It's a chamas malitzaya. So someone who the whole aspect of an isha is nothing but that, the Gemara is saying that's essentially hollow. There's nothing to it. It's a chamas malitzaya. This primarily, the Gemara has to say to a man, by the way, that isha chamas malitzaya. Because in the majority of cases, this is a feature that characterizes men, I believe, more than women. It says in Chassidus that feminine energy is much more spiritual, and male energy, masculine energy, is much more coarse and physical. And therefore, males very often are totally overtaken and overwhelmed by sheer physicality, totally devoid of any deeper type of relationship, any meaning. Versus the female, which usually is always seeking a deeper psychological and the spiritual bond. So this is one example that Alter Rebbe gives for a human being to come somewhat to experience the Mayis Bara, when he realizes and he meditates upon the fact that what he is totally being overtaken and overwhelmed per se is really essentially hollow, nothing. V'chein kol minei matamim u'madanim, nasim ka chamas malichul. So too, all delicacies, all dainties, similarly become vessels full of waste. All our best delicacies, what happens, essentially? Huh? After a short while, this is what happens. They become vessels full of waste, full of nothingness. You know, sometimes you sit down in a restaurant and a beautiful dish is served. Yeah, the mamish looks so beautiful. And the odor and the smell, the taste, you can mamrish go crazy from it, and a person launches a full-fledged attack on the poor food, totally getting indulged in it. And when you think about it, when you think about this very piece of food, you know, in 6 seconds, when it's just bitten up, it has the same beauty as a piece of shmata, as a piece of food in the garbage. So what's the big hispilos? So what do you go crazy from? What do you go crazy from? And then another thing, when you're hungry, a person often only thinks about food. That's it. And when you sit down to a wonderful dinner or breakfast, it's unbelievable. It's like after you finish eating and you're satiated, and someone comes and gives you the same dinner, you could throw up from it. The relativity. A moment before, this was paradise. And now, after you ate 10 minutes, you're satiated. You can't even look at it anymore. This demonstrates what type of tainug it is, even when you have the tainug. Totally devoid of any inherent, any true pleasure. And the same is true about all other types of tainug. V'chein kol tainug elam hazeh. Likewise, with regard to all the pleasures of this world, Hachachim Raya Hanailud Man, the wise man foresees what becomes of them. Shasaifun Lirkev Elias Himavash, but they ultimately rot and become worms and refuse. Every single type of worldly pleasure, as tempting as it may be, the pleasure, the implementation of the lust, is never as promising as we want it to be. You know, when a person experiences a craving and a lust towards something, you think that this lust is going to bring you all the greatness in the world. That's why you go ahead and do it. And then when you do it, you have the instant gratification, and then it's all over. It never fulfills its promises. Why is this? Because its whole power is just the moment, the veneer, the shell. In our society, there's a whole field of study and work known as the advertisement agencies. Basically, what advertisement agencies are all about is they take a product and they envision a good line that should demonstrate a certain wonderful dynamic aspect about this product that people go crazy about. It could be lousy, essentially. But nevertheless, the packaging in the ad or in the commercial or whatever it is so good that you gravitate towards it. And then you take it home and it's nothing, it's worthless. So the same is true about all tanugi elam haza, all pleasure of this world. Their whole power is their packaging, the commercial aspect. It's a good PR machine. That's what it is. If it wouldn't have that, it wouldn't have anything to it. So it's basically like something which is essentially bitter and is just coated with sugar. So you go ahead and you see it's coated with sugar, you go ahead and eat it. So the Alter Rebbe is saying that by meditating upon this, by contemplating this, every person can experience somewhat of this type of mayas bara. And a person should try to do this. Conversely, one should train himself to delight and rejoice in Hashem by reflecting to the best of his ability on the greatness of Hashem. He may well know that he will not attain this degree of loathing evil and delighting in godliness with the fullest measure of truth, but he will only imagine it. Nevertheless, he should do his part to uphold the oath administered to him. Be it tzaddik, v'Hashem yasa tov beinav, and Hashem will do as He sees fit. Which means, when Alter Rebbe says that it's only going to be b'dimyaynos, that he knows that he reaches this state only in his imagination, it doesn't mean b'dimyaynos, you have people who totally deceive themselves. You have sometimes people who decide they're tzaddikim, they love God, they hate evil. I mean, it's nishgishtegin and nishgiflegin. You have people, there's psychological illusions of grandeur. You decide one day you're Moshe Rabbeinu, you're Bakiva, you're Mashiach, Ichvesu. You have such types of people. But that's not what Alter Rebbe means by Demyonis. By Demyonis is relative to Emes La'amite. The definition of Emes is something that doesn't need crutches. Something that doesn't need meditation. Something that doesn't need certain situations, certain circumstances. That's ultimately not Emes. Ultimately, it's circumstantial. A tzaddik has this relationship to Teva Ra, be'emes la'amite. This human being, even if he has this type of experience, the light with godliness, he contemplates the shallowness, the superficiality of the pleasures of this world, all of the pleasures of this world, you know, we go crazy from Olam Haza. What's there to go crazy from? Essentially, there's nothing to it. On the contrary, he meditates the greatness of godliness. He can experience something. But nevertheless, ultimately, it's called a dimyan. It's not essentially part of who he is. And therefore, it has to be in certain situations. He has to keep on remembering it. He has to keep on meditating upon it and so on and so forth. Nevertheless, even though you're not going to become a tzaddik, you have to do what you can to fulfill the shvuah to eat tzaddik. Hashem will do what he wants. If he wants, you should become a tzaddik. He'll give you the energy. If not, not. But on your part, you have to try to be a tzaddik, even though you're never going to be a tzaddik. Even though it will never really affect you permanently, essentially, and truthfully, in the perfect sense of the word. But nevertheless, a person has to make that attempt on his part to achieve this goal, although he might never achieve it. The Beinoni, we say, every person can achieve. The tzaddik, he has to try to do what he can. So an interesting thing, Pinchas Karitzer said once, he was one of the students of the Baal Shem Tov. So someone once asked him, what is the use of learning Svarim that deal with one's spiritual growth and development, that deal with the spiritual, ethical dimensions of Yiddishkeit, Sifri HaYira, the books that deal with Yiras Shamayim, when it's not affecting him? The person is saying, I'm learning for years and years, and it absolutely has no effect upon me. So I want to stop learning it. So Pinchas Karitz explained to him this. He said that there's a din in Gemara. Actually, it's part of one of the major dinim in Masechta Baba Basra called Macha. If a person dwells in your house, you went away, and a person takes over your home. So the halacha is that if this person lives there for 3 years, and no one uttered a word, they gain a chazaka. Chazaka means a real connection, a hold on over this home, and this demonstrates that it's their home. And if you come afterwards and you say, it's my home, we don't believe you. What happens if within the 3 years you made a macha? You made a protest. And the Gemara says, how you make a protest? In front of two people, you make just voice. You voice an opinion that this home belongs to me. But you don't have yet the ability, if you're in another country, of course. You're in another, you know, then there was no email, no faxes. So the time span was 3 years to find out. If you went away for business, you have 3 years. 3 years, certainly the Gemara says, rumor will have it that someone moved into Chaim Yankel's home. And if for 3 years you didn't call two people, someone to make a macha, just voice a protest, then it demonstrates that the house is not yours. If you did make a macha, then later you could bring these witnesses to Bezna and take away the home. So Pinchas Karitz says like this. It's possible that the house doesn't belong to you. That the house is not being dominated by you. Someone else is dwelling in your house. But when you learn these farm, at least you make a macha. You make a macha. Does it mean you gain back? You don't have the house yet. The other person is dominating your house, living in the house. Which means, in our terms, there could be a person that the Nefesh Bahamas is dominating his body, is dominating the city. So that's it. It's a lost case. You have to make a macha. Macha means that ultimately the house doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the neshama. It belongs to the Nefesh Alikis. Similar is in the next level. The Alter Rebbe says, Bein and Niyah. That's the problem. But you have to still make a macha on Elam Haza. You have to make a macha. Doesn't mean you're going to be a tzaddik, lav dafka. But you have to make a macha that the duality is a veneer. That the two perceptions, that the egotistical energy is a shell, is a husk. Tehi tzaddik. Tzaddik is the role model. Tzaddik is the real person. Doesn't mean that you're actually going to be a tzaddik. Hashem yasa teiv me'enof. But the macha that Elam Haza, the fact that we know that we have two nefashas, the macha, the awareness that Zadnish does it, it's not everything, that Elam Haza is not so powerful. The next time you look at the world, don't go so crazy about the world, Dalton Rebbe is saying. It's not a powerful, it's not a wonderful, but the world devoid of godliness essentially is nothing. This is what is told to every human being with the oath of Tehi Tzaddik. Let's conclude. Va'ait. Furthermore, it's damn interesting. You know, you have sometimes, they say that anthropologists that are in a certain country, from time to time, they have to come home. Or even ambassadors that are living in a foreign country for a long time, from time to time, they have to come home. Why? Because when you live in a foreign country, even if you're coming there as an ambassador of another country, you begin adapting to the cultural elements that characterize that country, as sophisticated as you think you are. And sometimes you have to get away, you know, to rediscover who your real identity. We have the episodes concerning different historians and scientists and researchers who went to foreign third world countries where there were primitive barbaric tribes who had all these weird cultish behavioral conduct, and they went as totally objective researchers, and they were there for a long time, and they didn't become like them, but nonetheless some of the beliefs and the traditions started to affect them. So this aspect is what Alter Rebbe is now going to introduce. The second aspect. Va'aid. Now furthermore, not only, as we said before, a person has to try to be a tzaddik, and Hashem will do what he wants, but you have to do what you can do, although you might never achieve it. Sha'hergla kol davar. Shiltein v'naset tevasheni. Habit reigns supreme in all matters. It becomes second nature. Ukshiyargla ma'isa sara. Therefore, when one accustoms himself to loathe evil, he will begin to find it truly abhorrent to some extent. Although it's not Bahamas, although you have enough Shabahamas, and it's not like essentially you hate and you're repulsed by Tanugi Elam Hazar or by evil. But nevertheless, when a person trains himself and thinks about it, even though if it's not really who you are and it's not part of your chemistry and it can change and so on and so forth, it affects you. It becomes part of you. And nimus k'taz b'emus, it will start becoming abhorrent a little bit, truthfully. And when he accustoms himself to rejoice in Hashem through reflecting on his greatness, then on the principle that an arousal of man below brings a corresponding arousal from above, so this experience from below will bring an arousal from above, the kuli haiva ulai. Perhaps after all this effort, yara lav ruach memarim, a spirit from above, a ruach will descend upon him, v'yiske lepchinas ruach mishayrish eizet tzadik shetis abribay, and it will be granted him that the soul level of ruach originating in the soul of some tzadik will be impregnated in him, lavoid Hashem b'simcha amitis, so that he may serve Hashem with true joy, kedeksiv, as it's written in Tehillim, Kapitel Tzadik Zayin, Simchu Tzadikim ba'Hashem, rejoice, O Tzadikim in Hashem, because the real rejoice and delight and ecstasy and godliness is experienced by the Tzadik. So this Jew, who might receive from above, us impregnation, so to speak, of the ruach of a certain tzaddik, will be able to achieve this state of ecstasy and godliness, similar to a tzaddik. And then, v'tiskayim by be'emes ha'shvua shemashbiyim tihi tzaddik. In this way, the oath charging him to be a tzaddik will takib truly be fulfilled. Not only an attempt on his part to do whatever he can to experience what a tzaddik experiences, although he never becomes a tzaddik, but rather he will take fulfill the oath because he'll take be a tzaddik. He wakes up one morning and he's a tzaddik. This is a concept in Kabbalah called ibur. Ibur literally means impregnation. Briefly, what it is, just for a moment, there are three concepts in Kabbalah related to this issue of soul transplants: Gilgul, Ibur, and Dibuk. Dibuk, I'm sure you heard of. Then there's Gilgul, you also heard of. Over here you're presented with Ibur. Gilgul means reincarnation or transmigration. Ibur means impregnation. And then there's Dibuk, which literally means attachment. The very words connote the differences. The concept of Gilgul is a certain soul is reincarnated and comes down again to this world, although it has lived already once in this world, and is manifested in a second body. So in other words, a person lived, person passed away, the soul ascended, and then the soul comes down again to this world. This is called a reincarnated soul. It's reincarnated in another human being's body. That's what Gilgul is. For example, the Arizal writes that most souls of these generations are not new, fresh souls. It's souls that have already been once on the world, and now they come down again in a Gilgal. So my soul or your soul, I don't know, I'm not a maven in this, but it's very possible that it's a soul which is a Magulgal, it has been previously in another body. That's one aspect. And of that itself, there are many components and details and aspects. Then there's a concept of Dibuk. Dibuk is where a soul of a certain human being is attached, enters into your psyche, your consciousness, and attaches itself to your soul. And what we mean by it says, what we mean when we say that it attaches itself is that it remains secondary, alien, and separate from your very consciousness. Rather, a new consciousness is introduced. So there are two consciousnesses. And sometimes that alien consciousness takes over the person, and this person utters words, or behaves, or thinks, or does certain things as a result of, and as an effect of this type of consciousness. And this, of course, creates a major, usually a major destruction in one's life, because there are two personas functioning, and the person experiences a total separation and schizophrenia and so on and so forth. Dibuk is, of course, something which is very common in Jewish folklore. But it's not just folklore. It should be noted that in this past generation, Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, Rav Cook, who was the first chief rabbi of Israel and is certainly considered a modern 20th century sage, as well as Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, both of them are reported to having been engaged and involved in expelling and getting rid of dibuks. So it's not just limited to the folklore literature. That's dibuk. Then there's ibur. Ibur is not a gilgul and is not a dibuk. There's not too much said about ibur in Kabbalah, and there's certainly Jews were never into autobiography so much, so there's very little said about the actual experience of it. But from the little that is said about ibur, it seems something of this nature. It's not Gilgal, it's another consciousness, another soul, or part, a spark of another consciousness enters into your consciousness, and it becomes impregnated within you. Which means it becomes part and parcel of one's conscious. It merges with one's very soul, and what happens is his energy, his soul, his spiritual resources are enhanced, are deeply enhanced and accelerated to a much greater and a deeper level. Does he realize it? Often he realizes it, and sometimes he doesn't. In Shvachi HaRizal, there's a story. Shvachi HaRizal is the historical sketch about Rabbi Yitzchak Luria. Rabbi Yitzchak Luria was one of the greatest Kabbalists who ever lived. He lived in Sfas in the 16th century. It's said on the HaRizal, Rabbi Chaim Vital writes that when the HaRizal would look on someone, he could right away see by looking at him if his neshama is a Gilgal or not, and from where it's Magulgal. The HaRizal said about all his students where the neshamas come from, where the neshamas have been previously, prior to their manifestation. Rashbi, Rebbe Lazar, and sometimes very negative sources. For example, Reb Chaim Vital. Reb Chaim Vital, who was his greatest student, HaRizal said, if you wouldn't have ended up by me, you would have been the worst of the worst. Reb Chaim Vital writes this. There's a whole sefer called Sefer HaGulgulim by the HaRizal and Shara HaGulgulim. Two svarim. Anyway, so in Shvachi HaRizal it says that HaRizal had a student whose name was Reb Shmuel. He authored Medrash Shmuel on Pirkei Avos. And he was a student of the HaRizal. And one day the HaRizal stood up for him. He came into the room, the HaRizal stood up. So the HaRizal said that now the neshama of Reb Pinchas ben Yair was impregnated within him. Ibur. Perhaps he didn't realize it. Perhaps he didn't. What is Dalter Rebbe saying here? It says even in one place, you know, sometimes a person wakes up in the morning or whatever, or something happens, and they feel a whole new type of energy. This doesn't mean a freshness. When you wake up, you're fresh, or just a plain renewal. Sometimes a human being can be granted a whole new type of energy and experience and attachment to something that he or she has previously not experienced. And this can often happen as a result of Ibur. Now, what is Dr. Rebbe saying here? That Tehit Tzaddik means, although not everyone is obligated or can be a Tzaddik, a person has to try to be a Tzaddik. The Tzaddik is the role model of Judaism. You know, whenever you want to know the nature of a society, how do you know what the nature of a society is? You have to look who are its role models. What is the ideal human being of the society? So you have the American Superman, you have Nietzsche Superman, and so on and so forth. A baseball player, whatever it is. I don't know if today it's baseball players. I think today it already went to another realm. But you have the ideal man. This, you know what a society is. Who doesn't a society idolize? Who is the greatest person? Who does a 16-year-old want to be like? When you come to Yiddishkeit, if you want to know what Yiddishkeit is, you have to look at its role model, at its Superman, at its Adam HaElyon. That is the tzaddik. The tzaddik as defined in Tanya. What is the tzaddik? Tzaddik doesn't have money. Doesn't necessarily have a BMW or a beautiful house and a summer home and three dogs and power and so on and so forth. The tzaddik abhors evil. That's what the tzaddik sachakel is. He pushes abhors evil. And he loves God. And he loves people. Because if you love Hashem, you love people. Because people are created in the image of Hashem. That's the tzaddik. Tehi tzaddik. So the shvu is a person has to realize this is the ideal. This is the role model. You attempt, you strive to go up on the ladder. So the Alter Rebbe says, first of all, you have to try what you can. By training yourself concerning the vanity of worldly negative pleasures and the greatness and beauty and truth of Hashem. That's point A. And point B, that very effort and toil can actually have an effect upon the person to the extent that he should become a tzaddik. Both in the negative side, that habit reigns supreme, and both in the positive side, contemplating godliness over here, it's not just enough, the habit, the habitual, because it's much more abstract and aloof and otherworldly, but rather, as a result of this effort and toil, he can be zeicha. He can, not necessarily. Kula hai va'ulai, the Alter Rebbe says. Maybe as a result of his efforts, Hashem will grant within it, will grant him a ruach from the soul of a tzaddik who has the energy to experience a state of ecstasy that's characteristical to tzaddikim. And that this human being, although essentially he was not created a tzaddik, and his soul essentially is that of a potential beni, not of a potential tzaddik, nevertheless he'll be able to achieve the state of a tzaddik and thus implement in actual practice the first part of the shvu as well, which is the tzaddik. You thought I said that a Beinoni never wins. You can't count on winning. Have a good day and a wonderful week, but just don't lose. Next week is Shavuos, so have a happy Yom Tov and Kabbalah Sotayim B'Simcha B'Panimis. The Shir will resume the following Sunday after Shavuos.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya each Sunday morning at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or to receive the tapes weekly by mail, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.